there's a train to come. Don't need no baggage, you just get on board.
Welcome to New Hope for Today with Pastor Tom Belhai, a broadcast ministry of New Hope Church ECO in Washington, Pennsylvania. New Hope Church is dedicated to bringing you sound biblical teaching, the truth of God's Word. So get ready for your New Hope for Today.
Today we're going to continue our study on the life of Peter, and this week is Peter the Disciple. So we're going to read from Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 23. Hear now the word of God. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he was asking his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, and others Elijah, but still others Jeremiah, or even one of the prophets." And Jesus said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven." Then he warned his disciples that they should tell no one that he was the Christ. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised up on the third day. Now at this, Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "God forbid it, Lord," he said. "This shall never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are not setting your mind on God's interest, but man's." Thus says the word of God. Let's go to God in prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask you that as your word is proclaimed, that you speak truth in our hearts, that you reveal to us the perfection of your word, that we may be changed to be more like Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, we had talked about Peter last week, and we talked about his introduction to Jesus. Now, you have lives that can change. Whenever I was younger and I experienced my first introduction to Jesus through the Catholic Church, you know, I kind of understood a little bit what was said about him. I didn't quite get it, I don't think, for sure. Then I went to a Josh McDowell seminar at Pitt. I told you this before. And I was introduced to this idea of having a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that was something I didn't know anything about. Sprinkled along the way, though, my life began to change. And it was not evident at first. It took a while. And as Christians, our lives continue to change all the time to be more and more like Jesus. That we should be changing from this natural person to supernatural. Of this worldly understanding of things to godly truth. Beloved, that is the walk of a disciple. And so in our journey with the Apostle Peter, we're following the story from Peter's introduction to Jesus, and we ended with him following Jesus. Remember in John chapter 1, we found that Andrew brings Jesus to, brings Peter to Jesus. There's nothing said of a spoken word of Peter. He simply is brought to Jesus, saying, "This is the Messiah." Jesus looks at him and said, "Okay, you are now going to be called Cephas," which translated means Peter, which translated for us means rock. Kind of a curious thing to say. And from that point on, we don't have any other spoken word of Peter or an interaction with Jesus and Peter until we reach Luke. This is probably 3 to 6 months later now. So we don't know what had gone on with Peter in the meantime, but what we do find is that he's fishing in the Sea of Galilee. And so they're fishing in the Sea of Galilee, and there's, you know, Jesus comes in the boat, and they go out, and a bunch of fish come in, and their two boats are needed to drag it in because of what Jesus had done. And they come to the shore, and everybody's astonished at this great catch. And yet Peter, in an odd reaction, falls on his face and said, "Lord, go away from me, for I am a sinful man." He had realized that there was something wrong in his life. In his heart, there was a need for something more. Just like in the human heart that strives to fill that empty hole with so many things, we all know that, and we at times in our lives have filled it with foolish and sinful things. Trying to make sense out of life, trying to understand our position and purpose in the world. So when we are confronted by the holiness of God, we too must say, "Lord, go away from me. I'm a sinful man." Simply because we don't see the whole big picture. Peter acknowledges sinfulness in his heart and believes that Jesus is what? A miracle worker? That Jesus is a fish catcher, or that he is Messiah? Well, we don't know. But what we do know is that Peter, at that point, left everything that he had and followed Jesus. Just as we see through the Gospels and through various other callings of the apostles, we see them dropping everything and following Jesus. This encounter that Peter has with Christ is very interesting. His life was about to change radically. He was about to go into a whole another direction that was supernatural in nature. A total heart transplant. Now, the heart transplant didn't take place very quickly for Peter. And I think that when we make a study of Peter's life, Peter is the most mentioned apostle in all of the Gospels. He's mentioned over 120 times. Often used as the one saying things, often as the one leader, often the one sticking his foot in his mouth for silly things that he says. Not quite understanding. And I really believe that that's done on purpose, because I think that all of us can relate to this man who had this relationship with Jesus that needed to be nurtured and grow. So let's follow this now. He's left everything. He's going with Jesus. He immediately, they left their nets and followed him. Peter now becomes a willing follower of Jesus. So what does that mean? He's now prepared to travel with Jesus. He's now prepared to listen to him, to observe him. That is a disciple. That's what a disciple is. Is he fully versed in everything about God and all of these things that he's supposed to understand, and all of a sudden is this great theologian? Absolutely not, but it's interesting. Peter was indeed a babe on spiritual milk. And you know what? Years later, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 3, we find out something about Peter. Kind of like as he's reflecting on his life and first following Jesus. He says, "Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and deceit and hypocrisy and envy and slander of every kind," which is kind of what he wanted to do on the shore when he laid prostrate to Christ. "I'm a sinful man." "Rid yourselves of all that. And like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good." There's a parallel there, beloved, to our Matthew verse. Looking back, he recognized his need to grow and to change. And he is exhorting us the same way. And so Peter, here's the thing. Peter and the other disciples now, from this point on, are following Jesus around for a year and a half. So a year and a half from that point, they're following Jesus around, roughly 2 years into Jesus' ministry, seeing teachings and hearing teachings and new ideas that are coming across and miracles and spiritual awakenings. From Matthew, we go from Peter being called to follow him, we go directly now into chapters 5, 6, and 7, which is the Sermon on the Mount, filled with teachings, kind of filled with new ideas, however, though. Because back in that day, what the Pharisees were all about was obeying the law, being obedient to the law. And it's estimated they had about 613 or more or less, depending upon what study you read, of different laws that they had to abide by. And so to them, holiness was abiding by law, not a relationship walking for a year and a half with Jesus. And so their thinking had to start changing. And when Jesus starts preaching on the Sermon on the Mount, you remember what he says, that he says until in Matthew chapter 5, that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees, you know, beyond just the laws. Because you've heard that it said to the people long ago, "Do not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment." You see, Jesus is moving the disciples along from this understanding that it's what is in your heart, soul, and mind that matters. And that's what's going to produce your actions in a holy way. Just doing good works is meaningless unless your heart, mind, and soul are in unity with the work that you do, in unity with Christ. In chapter 8, Jesus exorcises demons in this walk that the disciples are having with him as we approach chapter 16. In this year and a half time period, they see him exorcise demons. They see him heal a Roman centurion's son. You know, the hated Roman guards that every Jew disliked. And yet he healed his son without ever even seeing him, if you remember the story. But that's the faith that the centurion had. Jesus calms the storm. He exorcises demons. And when I think about that part of the life of Peter as walking with Jesus, I think of my own walk and I think of the demons that Jesus exorcised from my life. Those awful, bad, disobedient behaviors that he took away from me. And I see him in the storms of my life, that when things go wrong, that he does give me peace and comfort, that he does calm the storms. And I can see him working in other people around me. These are the same things that Peter and the other disciples saw in Jesus. In Matthew 9, we have even more miraculous healings. And then we go to Matthew 10. Now, Peter and the other disciples up to this point have been following him around, have seen all of the stuff that we talked about for a year and a half. And we see further something about Peter's reflections on it in 1 Peter 2, verses 4 and 5. As you come to him, Jesus, the living stone, rejected by men but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. Because in chapter 10, Jesus chooses his stones to build his church. And he names his 12 apostles. Now, the purpose of this 12 apostles, and apostles in the Greek means messengers, by the way. And so these holy messengers that he is picking out and he is choosing. And from that point on, what ends up happening with those 12 is they kind of get private tutoring by Jesus. They get more explanation of what he's all about and what he's talking about. And so what do they experience from that point? A year and a half into it, Matthew 11 and 12, Jesus teaches more things. In chapter 13, a whole series of parables. And in the parables, Jesus often has to stop and he has to explain to his apostles what they're about. In Matthew 14, Jesus walks on the water to the apostles who are in the boat. And remember what happens then? What does Peter do? Lord, I want to come to you, right? And he says, come. And now, you know, of the apostles all in the boat, he was the only one that spoke up. Of the apostles all in the boat, he was the only one that somehow in his heart just had this faith that was yearning to go into action. And so he steps out of the boat, and he's even able, God, I mean, can you imagine this? I don't know if I can even imagine this. He's able to walk on the water a little bit. Then he sees the waves and the wind and the storm, and he begins to sink. And when Peter sinks at this point in time, what does he do? He cries out in the cry of every human being who seeks Jesus Christ in their heart. You know, get the picture. He's sinking in the water, waves around him. Jesus is standing there, and he reaches up and he says, what? Do you know? Save me, Lord. Save me, Lord. With this little magnificent encounter that Peter was able to experience, we go to Matthew 15. And Jesus gives the parable about, you know, what comes into the mouth is important. What comes out is what's important. You know, what's in your heart. And Peter's saying, explain this parable to us. We don't understand it. And Jesus said, are you still so dull that you don't get this? It's your heart, your mind, your soul, your relationship to Christ that counts. Because out of that, goodness will come. And then we reach chapter 16. And there is a divine revelation that is given to Peter. Who do people say the Son of Man is? Jesus said. And Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed are you, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. The world did not reveal this to you. But my Father who is in heaven gave you this divine revelation. God has spoken to Peter's mind and heart. Now, have you experienced God speaking to your mind and heart? God showing you Jesus as the Christ? And my prayer, beloved, is that you could all say, yes, he has done that in my heart. He has changed my life. He has made me new and is in the process of making me new. Now, in this encounter, think about it this way. The Messiah is named. It's kind of the official proclamation of the Messiah. Who do you say that I am? The Christ, the Son of the living God. And in turn, the Messiah reminds Peter of his name. In his name, rock it. He says, I say to you, Peter, that upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. You see, Peter is on this holy mountaintop in this experience with Jesus. I mean, he's got this divine revelation. He knows in his heart. He speaks it from his mouth. He kind of, you're thinking, this man just gets it. He's nailing it. He's this great spiritual guy, ready to do great things for God. And then he steps right back in 2 verses later into total misunderstanding of the name of Jesus, of what Messiah even means. Jesus said to his disciples that he'd have to suffer many things, be killed, raised up on the third day. Peter looked at him and began to say to him, God forbid it, Lord, this shall never happen to you. And Jesus says, no, stop. Stop, accuser. Get behind me. You're a stumbling block to me. You're not setting your mind on God's interest, but man's. You see, Peter has been walking with Jesus for 2.5 years at this point. It's estimated that Jesus traveled roughly about 3,500 miles in 3.5 years. That's a lot of walking. That is a lot of walking. And that is a lot of walking with somebody. And all of the day-to-day things that they would have experienced in that time, to gaining a strong and durable relationship with Jesus. And yet, he still struggles with what he thinks is right versus what God is saying is right. Anybody here ever do that? Yeah, we all have. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief, that we cry out often. And so this childlike understanding of Jesus as the Lamb of God, who would be sacrificed for our sins, who would pay our debt, who would be the atonement and the propitiation, the whole work of Christ and purpose of God, of what Jesus came here for, to suffer and die in Peter's place, in my place, in your place, for those who believe and confess Jesus as the Messiah, the Son of God, and accept him into your heart. What God has in store then for Peter and the body of believers from ancient times through now is far more marvelous than any human being can even imagine. And still at this point, Peter doesn't get it. He has divine revelation. He has misunderstanding. And he kind of seesaws with those two things in his walk with Jesus. And we'll find out next week, even to the point of death on the cross, and Peter's denial. As you witness miracles, as you absorb teachings, as you walk with Jesus, your faith in Christ grows. Your understanding grows. Your relationship with the living God can't but help to grow. So you need to confront your misunderstandings with God's truth. And so may your journey progress as Peter's did. Leave your old thoughts and presuppositions and truly follow Jesus. Be a disciple. Amen. Let's go to God in prayer. Holy Father, we thank you for the life of Peter. We thank you for the example that it is to us. We thank you, Lord, for knowing that, yes, we're still imperfect, that our pews here and churches all around the world aren't filled with perfect people, but they are filled with people seeking perfection. And that is the perfection of Jesus Christ in our lives. And we can only accomplish that by the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells in us, Lord, as we listen to your calling in our lives, as we listen to you draw us near to you in that great relationship that is eternal. And we respond by following Christ. Help us in our walk, Lord, with Jesus. We pray this all in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Thank you for listening to New Hope for Today with Pastor Tom Belhigh and New Hope Church ECO in Washington, Pennsylvania. If you don't have a church home, please come and visit this Sunday at 11 a.m. For more, check out newhopechurcheco.org or call 724-222-7490. Love God, love others. That's what New Hope Church is all about. New hope, new life, new family, new mission, all in Christ Jesus. Be sure to tune in next week for more New Hope for Today. Until then, may God bless you.